Thank you, Dave, for that warm introduction and prayer. Happy Sunday, church. Hope everyone's doing well and staying safe. And a special welcome to anyone joining us for the first time. So my name is Carney. I'm one of part of the leadership team here at Jubilee Church Shepparton. So Dave launched a new series last week from Judges titled Flawed Heroes and talked about Deborah and Barak. And today I am going to hopefully try and bring a word of encouragement in my preach today and talk about another character called Ehud. So the title of my encouragement today is Desperate Times, Desperate Measures. So desperate times calls for desperate measures. Before we go into the story, it's good to kind of remind ourselves of why the Israelites needed judges. So they chased after other gods, they'll lose sight of God, they'll rebel against God, and their oppressors would take over them, God would give them into the hands of their enemies. They would cry out to God, and God would send a judge who would deliver them, and that kind of cycle just goes round and round. So that's what we see in Judges. Just a bit of narrative on Ehud, the Ehud story, before we read it from scripture. So who is Ehud? So Ehud is described in the book of Judges as a judge who was sent by God to deliver the Israelites from Moabite domination. So Moab is the name of the ancient kingdom that is today known as Jordan. Ehud was one of the 15 judges that ruled over Israel prior to when the kings taking charge. He's described as being left-handed and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. So tribe of Benjamin, as we know, is one of the 12 tribes of Israel that descended, obviously, from Benjamin, Benjamin being the youngest son of Jacob and Rachel. So just to kind of, before we read the story from the Bible, just to kind of summarize. So Ehud, I said earlier, was left-handed. The Israelites were under the oppression of King Eglon of Moab. They were oppressed for about 18 years, and God sent Ehud to go and deliver the Israelites. He made a sword, which I'll just use the one from the kids' craft, which is very nicely demonstrates the sword. So he used a sword and concealed it in his right thigh, normally because he was left-handed. If you're right-handed, normally you'd conceal it in the left, but because he was right-handed, obviously he concealed it in his right thigh, and used it to kill the king of Eglon. After doing that, they went to battle and defeated the Moabites, and Israel had peace for a number of years. So I'll read the scripture. Bear with me, it's quite long, but after that, it would be good to talk about a couple of points, a couple of takeaways that we can apply to our lives. Judges 3, I'll start from verse 12 to 13. It says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of Palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab." Verse 16. It says, "Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was a double-edged sword, about a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. When he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, 'I have a secret message for you, O king.' And the king said, 'Keep silence.' And all who attended him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached out with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt, the top part of the sword, went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw out the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he's probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the door or doors of the upper room. Therefore they took the key and opened them, and there was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Syria. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord had delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time, they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. So quite a long reading. But what can we learn from this story about Ehud? We're going to look at two points really. But before we look at them, I'd like to encourage us or to stress that God is not necessarily calling us to adopt Old Testament ways. For example, the use of violence is not Christian love. It's not what Jesus demonstrated. The Israelites, for example, were encouraged to fight for the land that God had promised them, the promised land, and they did that. But I really want to encourage us that our fights and battles are spiritual, and I believe more than ever that God is calling the Ehuds of our generation to be able to stand and fight spiritually, and to overcome the King Eglons of our generation. So I just encourage us with that. When we read some of this stories from the Old Testament, there is a pointer to the spiritual element and what's actually happened and how we can apply that to our lives. Are there some spiritual King Eglons that we need to destroy? Is the question I want to ask us. Maybe demonic forces that are impacting our societies. We think of even the situation that we're in now, the pandemic, and how much that has caused discomfort in our society. Various forms of sicknesses and diseases, torments, demonic voices of condemnation, lack of peace, sleep, depression, suicidal thoughts. All of these are spiritual King Eglons that maybe God is calling us as Ehuds to slay, to destroy. Self-harm, unbelief, so many different things. I just really want to encourage us. Is God calling you to be the Ehud for your partner, for example, or your children, or for your nation, for your children's school, for loved one? For our nation, desperate times calls for desperate measures. We're encouraged in the New Testament from Mark 16 that these signs shall follow those that believe, that in the name of Jesus we shall cast out devils, that we shall slay, the spiritual King Eglons in our time. Also, I just want to encourage us. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. Talks about the the battle that we're in, the war that we're in. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, you know, we're still in a battle. You know, just like Ehud, we have a spiritual sword that we fight with. It says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, you know, for casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So God is calling each and every one of us to be an Ehud in the different situations and the challenges that we find ourselves. So the 2 points very quickly that I want us to look at before we have a time of prayer. The first one is, you know, that God can use our quirks. You know, by quirks, I mean, you know, peculiar aspects of our character, for example, or behavior. That God can use our quirks. You know, just like Ehud was left-handed, and God used it to bring victory for his people, the Israelites, and they had peace in the land for 80 years. That also reminds me of another story, another great man of God in the Old Testament, Moses. You know, Moses had a stutter, a speech impediment. You know, he said to God, actually, can you choose someone else? Because, you know, I feel like I don't have the communication skills to be able to go out and deliver your people from the Egyptians. But God called him, God equipped him, and God led him. He became the leader of the Israelites out of Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea. He led them for 40 years. And so I just really just want that story to encourage us that it doesn't matter what that quirk is, you know, God wants to use it, and God wants to use you for his glory. What are some of the things that or factors that stop us from stepping out? It could be because we, like Moses, we might think that we are not qualified. It could be the fear of man. What would people say? It could be the fear of failing. You know, I would imagine Ehud would have been terrified. What if someone decides to search him thoroughly? You know, they would obviously see the sword concealed in his right thigh, and that would have probably been the end of him. You know, so there are genuine fears to stepping out, but I just really want to encourage us that God gives us the grace and the protection, and he leads us, you know, as we step out into things that he's called us to do. Fear of rejection, lack of resources, so many different factors that could stop us from doing what God wants us to do. But the encouragement today is just like Ehud, just like Moses, just like some of the great men of God, that God would lead us, God would inspire us through his Spirit to step out. The second point that I want to encourage us with is that God can do incredible works through a single person. You know, after Ehud killed the king and the Israelites battled the Moabites, they experienced 80 years of peace. No one could have guessed that God can use a single person to bring such victory and such triumph for his people. So I just really just want to encourage us that, you know, God can use us. We can never underestimate or imagine what God can use us to bring about. You know, Hebrews 11 is a great chapter that talks about great men of faith that God used in the past single-handedly to bring about different things. And I want to encourage you to read it if you can. But I just want to just read a couple of verses from that chapter, Hebrews 12, that just to really encourage us. Hebrews 11, 32, it says, what shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak that Dave preached about last week, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Dave talked last week about Deborah. You know, it's mentioned here again in Hebrews 11:35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So Hebrews 11 just gives us, you know, it just really encourages us that we too can be heroes of faith. You know, that God can use a single person to achieve great things if we can only just trust him, yield ourselves to him, and just let his spirit move and direct us. I just also just want to encourage us with the story of Paul. Paul himself admitted to being timid, but he spoke with power. He spoke with great zeal. You know, 1 Corinthians 2, he talked about himself. He said in verse 3 that I was with you with weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And so many of us can relate to that, you know, in terms of stepping out into the things that God has called us for. You know, he said, I was with you in weakness, you know, in fear, in much trembling. So it's okay to be weak. It's okay to experience a bit of fear of stepping out into the unknown. That's fine. But this is what he says in verse 4. He says, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So through God's Spirit, you know, we can step out. Through God's Spirit, we can step out into what he wants us to do. So in conclusion, I just really want to just ask, you know, what is God calling you to do? Who is he asking you to reach out to? What's that ministry that God's put in your heart to step into? You know, maybe God's asking you to reach out to a family member and tell them about your testimony. Tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell them about what God has done for you. You know, maybe it's a work colleague or a neighbor. Maybe it's to join and be part of the prayer team. You know, Dave talked earlier about us taking a huge step of faith, and you know, our first prayer meeting here in a while. You know, maybe God's calling you to be part of the team to slay some spiritual King Eglons. I just want to encourage you that we can step out through God's grace. We can step out through God's Spirit leading and guiding us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, you know, encourages us. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I believe that's the message for us today, that my grace, God's grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So it doesn't matter what the quirks we carry, doesn't matter what our weaknesses are, we can step out and we can be what God has called us to be. We can move in the power of Christ. So let's not let our weaknesses limit us. Let's say yes to God today. Let's step out and trust him. I'll just share a quick personal example. Growing up, you know, I was surrounded by music. I appreciated music a lot. And, you know, I remember some of my dad's old Christian collection and listening to them and really enjoying, I guess, what you'd call the presence of God, even though at that time I didn't know, you know, kind of that terminology, you know. And I remember saying to God that actually it would be quite nice to learn to play an instrument so that I can linger a little bit in his presence. I can spend more time, you know, just in his presence. And I just remember asking God, if you would just teach me how to play an instrument, I would quite happily just spend time in just this nice, your presence. And he did. You know, I picked up the piano or keyboard, learned that, and, you know, to spend time, just me in God's presence. But then, you know, I started, you know, sensing that God's calling me into something even more than just myself. You know, a pastor, a leader of a church I used to attend in Chiswick, you know, asked me once, sometime, if I could lead worship or help out with worship in a home group setting. And I remember just frightened, a bit like Paul, like as I said earlier, you know, in fear, in trembling, and just couldn't do it. You know, just said no. And I remember just having a vision or a dream, you know, and just being in leading worship in that dream, in that vision, and just the presence of God and the joy of God in the room. And I just remember saying to God, you know, in the dream, that's what I want to do. That's me. And I just felt like that was God saying, actually, this is an encouragement for you to take that very small step. So I did that. You know, I started off very small, just small steps. I started in an all-night prayer meeting in the church I attended at that time. You know, people, all-night prayer meetings, you know, wasn't very popular. So there was, you know, just a few of us there. I started doing that. And then God, as I took steps, God started then encouraging me to help out in other areas. You know, the reason I'm sharing this is, you know, outside of helping out in worship in church, you know, I've been able by God's grace to go into prisons, and you know, just the joy of seeing those inmates that are locked up, haven't got the freedom that we have, you know, in captivity, just going through all sorts, just being able to just lift your hands in worship and enjoy God's presence. You know, it just feels like, you know, there is a spiritual King Eglon that's been slayed in their lives just because of that, opportunity to get together and worship together. So I just really just want to just encourage you with that, you know, doesn't matter how big or small that mission is. You know, today I just feel encouraged to step out and just let God use those gifts for his glory. God's response to us and God's response to you, again, is my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So say yes to God today. Take those small steps of obedience and God will see you through. And remember, the two main points from this story that we can pick out is God can use our quirks, God can use our weaknesses, and God can do incredibly mighty works through you. Just before we close, I would like to pray. I'd like us to pray together, you know, just from, you know, just from the comfort of your home. I'd like to pray really just for two groups. The first group really is a prayer for salvation or a rekindling. Maybe like the Israelites, you know, you have been inspired by what you're hearing today. And maybe, you know, you just needed that push or just that encouragement, just like the Israelites, to go out and fight the Moabites. You know, the Bible tells us that they killed about 10,000 Moabites. Just really want to encourage us, you know, what do you need to kill off today? Maybe it's a bad habit, maybe it's sin or some sort of addiction. Maybe you used to have a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, but now that relationship has gone cold and deep down you've stopped believing. You know, regardless of our character traits, I just really want to just encourage you as we pray, you know, that that now is the time for us to kill that spiritual King Eglon and to walk in victory. You know, Jesus says, I have come to give life, and I've come to give life more abundantly. You know, so there is hope, there is life more abundantly, and we can step into that. You know, and then the second group I want to pray for is, you know, if you like Ehud, you know, have quirks that have limited you in the past. And I just really just want to just pray, you know, that God would encourage you to step out. You know, maybe God's calling you to promote the gospel. Maybe God's calling you to use your gifts and abilities. You know, maybe God's calling you to community work. You know, Dave talked about earlier about bags of food and some of the great work, you know, Heather and her team are doing. You know, maybe God's calling you into something like that. It doesn't have to be a spiritual, in a way, in a sense, work or ministry. But whatever God's calling you to do, you know, God can, just remember that God can do great and mighty work through a single person, through you. So we're just going to just pray. I'm just going to just pray into that, and just before we finish. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today, Lord God. Thank you that as your word has gone through, Lord God, that there'll be so many people listening right now that could relate to maybe Ehud, or that could relate to the Israelites just being encouraged to step out and do the things that they need to do and kill off some spiritual Eglons, Lord God. Father, Lord, I just want to pray for your grace that you promised, Lord God, and just, Lord, that you bring encouragement and strength, Lord. Father, maybe there's someone out there that has stopped believing, you know, that have been oppressed and that's just going through a hard time, Lord God. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord God, for your grace. We pray for your healing, Lord. We pray for inspiration, Lord God. And Lord God, I also just want to pray for those, Lord God, that might have felt disqualified because of their quirks or weaknesses, Lord God. Father, thank you that this story brings to light that you can use us, that you can use them, Lord God. And so, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for us, Lord God, that whatever it is, Lord God, that you've put in their hearts, Lord God, that they'll be able to step out, Lord God, and step into it, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you, and we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us in days, in weeks, and in years to come for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to just thank you for your time, for listening today. Hope this message has been a blessing and an encouragement. And just to remember just those two points, that God can use our quirks for his glory to do great things. And God can use a single person, even you, to bring about great things for his glory. Take care. Have a blessed week, and speak to you soon. God bless.